Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One as we discuss the what's next coming out of UFC Vegas 24, which saw Robert Whittaker pick up his third straight win, and he made it look easy, and it looks like he has a date once again with the current middleweight champion Israel Adesanya. When that will happen, we shall see. If it will happen, we shall see, because it's the UFC. It's like the WWF in the 90s. Anything can happen in the world of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. But thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck. Just a quick warning, if you watched the Bellator card on Friday and the UFC on Saturday, you watched a lot of MMA, and I mean a lot of it. So many rounds, a lot of decisions, a lot of split decisions with the UFC. This may not be your typical hour-long show. Plus, I don't have much of a voice anymore, so bear with me on that, but we just can't do that to you after a marathon weekend. But something tells me we'll be making up for it next weekend after UFC 261. But joining me in this venture is the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the best friend and the prince of positivity himself, Mr. Alex K. Lee, looking kind of befuddled. You can't see that because it's an audio podcast. But how are you, my best friend?
My best friend, I'm a little confused because I feel like in all that, somehow you didn't mention something else that happened Saturday night in the world of combat sports, which, I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of people talking about it. And I was under the impression that today's show would all be about matchmaking specifically for one young man who was victorious last night. But if you didn't mention it, I suppose we didn't mention it for a reason.
I was going to mention it after.
And you know what? Maybe people don't even know what I'm talking about, Mike. I'm sorry. Yeah, if you're going to mention it, I'm sorry. Would you like to complete your introduction?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about MMA because this is like an MMA matchmaking show. But of course, the man with two first names knocked out Ben Askren in the first round, and the circus will continue on. But do you have a?
His name is Jake Paul.
Jake Paul, yes.
His name is
good for him.
Jake Paul, Mike. Jake, give me one second. I have to Google and look this up. Jake Joseph. He has three first names.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Jake Joseph Paul. So put some respect in the man's name. He won. No, we don't have to put any respect in this person's name. But it was. I think we'll discover by whenever the ratings come out Tuesday, Wednesday, and the buy race and all this stuff. I mean, even with estimates, I'm sure this will have drawn more viewers than unfortunately the UFC Vegas 24 card.
Oh my God!
I can say at least as far as web interest, those of us in the click minds, Mike, will be chasing this high for a long time. It will be,
I believe,
probably till the next time Jake Paul gets himself into some other jackass freak show fight. And by the way, obviously, like I'm being very glib about this, but I enjoyed the whole spectacle of it. I'm not judging anyone else who enjoyed it. I thought it was really entertaining for what it was. Again, I don't like Jake Paul. I don't think anything's going to change that. But let's admit it, the event revolved around him. There was a lot of star power on there, of course, Justin Bieber, Snoop Dogg, and the whole rap super group Mount Westmore. But Jake Paul and Ben Askren were the headliners, and they did a fair job of building this up. And yeah, I'm very, very interested in seeing what the buy rate was. But I get it. Look, don't worry, guys. And I'm kidding to our listeners. We're not really doing any serious matchmaking. We've got a few reader chitter chatter about it, only because I forced them to. We'll get to that later.
I think it does 1.5 million standing on its head.
I think so too. I remember I was skeptical. I think we discussed in one of our preview shows. I think I was like, I could see it matching the Tyson. You know, the Tyson Roy Jones, which did an estimated 1.2 million. I said, maybe around that. I actually thought a little less. But as I was watching the show, I was just completely forgetting. Like, man, some people probably would pay out of curiosity just to see Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube and E-40 and Too Short, or to see a Justin Bieber. Or, again, things that, what's a Doja Cat? I don't know, Mike. I discovered what a Doja Cat was on Saturday. And I was like, okay, I could kind of see why people would be into this. It's not necessarily my kind of music, but for sure, I understand the appeal of it. And I know for like $70, oh my gosh, so much. But you guys remember, we're still in the pandemic. We're still in a lot of people are still stuck in their houses. $70 is a small price to pay for some from high profile live music, quote unquote live. So there's a good chance across this broad spectrum of interest that this did draw well over, like you said, 1.2 million, maybe close to the 1.5 million range. But we will find out.
Do you have a matchmaking idea for Jake Paul before we go into the UFC? Have you thought of it?
No, I actually haven't. Like I said, I kind of just left this to the listeners, and we'll have a couple suggestions there later. I'm a little sad that Dylan Danis, I feel like the ship has sailed.
Oh, my God.
I feel like that's beneath him. I think whatever, if that ever was being seriously negotiated and Dylan Danis missed out on it, I think he really messed up because he was the perfect opponent. I think he would have drawn just as much as Ben Askren, maybe a little less because he's not as well known, even in the MMA community. But he's... There is something about him. I mean, the fact that we were even talking about Dylan Danis, a guy with what, two pro fights, two pro fights, I think.
Yeah.
And a great, but like not legendary, competitive jiu-jitsu career. It's just something about his appeal was that was very real. Askren and Paul, there was a little bit of kind of have poking and prodding to get them to, kind of get going at each other. But yeah, no, that ship has sailed. So I don't know what's next, but certainly. I think we will see Jake Paul up to something in boxing before the end of the year. And sorry, listeners, we're MMA fighting. Depending who it is, I will say, probably going to be all over it.
Yeah, I like the Tyron Woodley idea. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's perfect. Yeah. If they can make that happen, great. I don't necessarily am going to be there for the Tyron Woodley trash talk and the Jake Paul trash talk, but just the fight itself is kind of fascinating. In such a strange way, but the Dylan Danis thing, the ship hasn't just sailed. They somehow got a group of individuals to take the ship and throw it on a rocket, and then the rocket like took off into space. Like that thing is gone. Like it, and you say like Dylan Danis missed out. I don't think he missed out at all. The only thing he missed out on it was getting knocked dead by Jake Paul in front of millions of people. So it probably was a blessing in disguise. Oh yeah, that's true.
He's
already the highest paid guy in Bellator.
I was going to say, he says that all the time. I'm a little skeptical. Okay, I don't know. I don't have the exact contract figures. I'm a little skeptical that that's true. I'll say this. The Woodley matchup is a good idea, but I think his next opponent will not be an MMA fighter.
All right.
I'll go that. Yeah, I think it'll be someone from outside. I think it'll either be a boxer or another celebrity boxer. Maybe someone, I don't know. What other realms of celebrities are there? Mike, I don't even, someone from Twitch maybe, and then they can stream that on Twitch too. Twitch can get in on this. Actually, Triller wouldn't allow that. What am I saying? Triller wants all the Jake Paul money. So I don't know, but I think it won't be an MMA fighter next. I think I'll stand by my decree though, that sometime in the next 3 years, we see one of the Paul brothers, whether it be Jake or Logan. Gosh, I'm so sorry that I know that. We will see one of them inside the UFC octagon. Especially once Dana White and the bean counters over there see how much money was made, they can't resist. They got to get one of them in there.
I would be shocked if it happens at this point. Oh, like, exactly. Why even do it? Why even put yourself through that? You're not going to make the same money in the UFC. You're just not.
I feel it. I feel it. Right. It's going to happen.
Well, look, AK, we survived the weekend. All of us listening right now, we survived the weekend. We survived Paul Askren. We survived Bellator 257. But let's go ahead and give some shine to a man that absolutely deserves it. And I'm not talking about Jake Paul. I'm talking about Mr. Robert Whittaker, because this was a masterclass for 25 minutes because Kelvin Gastelum probably brought his A game. Like, he looked darn good when he actually was able to mount some kind of offense, but that man is as tough as they come. He took a beating and he kept coming forward and getting in Robert Whittaker's face. But if Whittaker wasn't going to get a finish, this was as good as he could have done at AK. And I have a feeling we're in the same boat here. This is pretty obvious. And I think Dana White sort of attested to that on Saturday night as well. We can say we are officially on the road to Adesanya Whittaker 2 for the middleweight title. Are we not?
Yes, yes. It just makes so much sense. I mean, Whittaker called for it after. He explained, of course, they could have it, you know, in somewhere in the Oceanic region, Australia, New Zealand, where they have a much better grasp of the on the COVID-19 situation. It would stick some. It would be a little bit tricky because, yes, I think you. I think primarily you, of course, would want to rely on having fighters from New Zealand and from Australia. It would make things a lot easier. I would even recommend having to accommodate that. Not worrying about having like a 10 fight, 11 fight, 12 fight card. I would, if it has to be like an 8 fight card with just guys from the Oceanic region, go for it. And again, sign new guys. There's a lot of promotions out there. Treat it like you would like an old school boxing card, but it's really just about the top two guys, because I think they'd be driving 85-90% of the pay-per-view buys. It doesn't matter who you put on the undercard. And you could probably have, again, there's so many good Australian fighters, you could probably have a good, fairly decent like main card as well. So hopefully they don't overthink it, get a little creative here with how they book this event, and just focus on making sure that fight happens. Because, yes, I've wanted this for a long time. I thought, honestly, for me, I only need to see him win one more time to get a rematch. I know the first fight for a lot of people is like, oh, he got, you know, he got beaten in such a definitive fashion. What is there to see again? It's like, guys, rematches often go quite differently than the first one. We know. I absolutely believe that wasn't Whittaker's best day. I think he was way too aggressive. He's spoken about, of course, being burnt out during that time, and haven't seen him fought since. How can you not? How can that not have that theory not have any credence, right? So when he beat Till, I was like, let's set up. I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I was like, I think you could set up that rematch. Cannonier, I was for sure. That's when I started thinking it was getting absurd that people were saying it's still like, do we really need to see the fight again? So if there was any doubters, and I'm sure there was less going into Saturday's main events, if there's any doubters, it has to be over now. Three straight wins, top 10 guys, convincing victories over all three of them. Let's get this rematch going, please.
If there was one guy who might have argued against this, it would have been Marvin Vettori. But even if you watch the broadcast, the camera kept panning to Marvin Vettori after they announced the decision. And even Marvin Vettori's face told the entire story. Like, he knew he lost it. Like, the chances of getting the next title shot were gone after that performance. So the title fight is the way to go. I'm excited for it. I'm fascinated by it because this version of Robert Whittaker is better than the version that won the title in the first place. So this is an interesting fight. I think he could take a lot from what Jan Błachowicz did against Israel Adesanya. He was able to use his wrestling, and that top game is super heavy. Like, Gaslam couldn't even move at times when Whittaker was on top of him, especially in that fifth round. So that's a really interesting fight. That is unequivocally the way to go. And congratulations to Robert Whittaker. It's funny how Darren Till was the biggest winner coming out of the Vettori Holland card, and he's probably the biggest loser here, because I still believed, even with a Whittaker decision win, he was going to get the next title shot, but this was just too good. This is not a guy that was like point fighting his way to a win. This is a guy that was looking to finish in every single second of that fight. Gaslam is just so tough. So props to both guys. Whittaker should be fighting for the belt next. And for Gaslam, AK, this is kind of tough because pretty much the entire division, especially in the top 15, they all have fights booked right now. So He's probably going to have to wait until some of these play out. But my pick, the winner of the upcoming fight on May 1st between Sean Strickland and Christoph Jocko. Because Strickland's a top 15 guy. I favor him to win that fight. If he does, you could do Strickland versus Gaslam. That's interesting because a lot of people have their eyes on Strickland. They like to see him and see what happens from there. Or if Kevin Holland stays at 185, that one makes a lot of sense too. What say you?
Well, it's funny you say that, because if Kevin Holland stays at 185, I want him to get the Strickland Jocko winner. Well, you know what? That's why maybe I think I was thinking that more before he did the quick turnaround. That was maybe more after the Brunson fight. Now that he's suffered two straight, maybe he would get the loser of that fight. Either way, I think we've all said we want to see him fight Strickland. Both guys talk a lot inside the cage and in an empty Apex environment, should they go that route. I mean, the sound bites would just be wild. So we want to see that. But I'm like you. I had to look ahead to upcoming matchups. There just isn't any top 15 name that's really free. But I actually went a little bit lower. I'm kind of wondering, is it time for Gastelum to, get – who does he beat? He just beat
Ian Heinisch.
Heinisch, right? Yeah. So I think maybe go back to that range a little bit, maybe just outside the top 15. So I had a bunch of options here. I pretty much just went with the one that's closest. Which is this weekend. I thought he'd be interesting to see him fight the Brendan Allen, Carl Roberson winner. Obviously, that fight would maybe be a little bit more appealing to Allen or Roberson. It would be their chance to kind of step up into the top 15. But I think they'd have earned it. I think whoever wins that fight, if they do it in impressive fashion, will have earned it. So I'm down for that. Otherwise, again, looked ahead. I think Edmund Shahbazyan, if he beats Jack Hermanson, May 15th. Tom Breeze, Antonio Arroyo winner. That's June 5th. Now we're getting pretty far. And then Omari Akhmedov, Brad Tavares winner. That's July 10th. So really, all these are options depending how long Gastelum wants to stay on the bench. If he wants to come back quickly, he has an option from this weekend. He has a guy, as you just mentioned. If he wants to wait a bit, then he can wait for some of those names to kind of get shuffled there.
I thought about Shahbazyan. Like, if he loses to Jack Hermanson, I'm okay with that idea of doing Shahbazyan versus Gastelum. But if he beats Jack Hermanson, he's like... By the time the rankings come out on Tuesday, if Shahbazyan wins, he'll probably be like four spots ahead of Gastelum.
MMA math, Hermanson beat Gastelum and Shahbazyan beat. This is true. He could leapfrog him. If he loses, though, it's weird, though. It's like, I'm of the camp that I was like, I didn't love the Shahbazyan. I mean, I'm warming up to it now, but I still would have liked to have seen Shahbazyan, again, kind of take a step back after losing to, help me, Michael.
Derek Brunson.
Losing to Derek Brunson, thank you. I kind of want to see him take a step back. And Hermanson, like I said, in the rankings is actually a step forward. And maybe stylistically they think it's a better matchup. I'm not sure. So I don't know. If he loses, I actually don't want him. Again, I want him to get thrown into that mix with the Tom Breeze, Arroyo, Akhmedov, Tavares guys. So, but you know what? We'll cross that bridge on to the next one on the May 16th edition.
There you go. And Whitaker, I think Whitaker just did all of us a favor by clarifying this middleweight division with that performance, because now we don't really have a logjam. We could just go in there, have that fight, and then the rest can work itself out. We're looking forward to some fun matchups, that's for sure. But let's head to the
Injuries and weird stuff happen. Vittori's on call. He's I'd say number one on the short list. He's the number one replacement option. So don't be fingers crossed we get Adesanya and Whitaker too. But we just don't know these days what's gonna happen. So.
Yeah, Vittori's end up fighting either Paulo Costa or Darren Till if he can miraculously recover in short time. But
support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the co-main event, because Andrei Arlovsky, who was the betting underdog for like the 17th consecutive fight, which is just bananas to think about. And from what I understand, and I looked at it yesterday afternoon, Arlovsky was the favorite, like hours leading into the fight. And then by the time the window closed, Sherman was the slight favorite. So the streak continues, but Arlovsky goes through, he gets back in the win column. And my hat goes off to the Pitbull, because without that victory, I would have lost our pick 'em. Our little pick'em league yesterday, but Arlovsky,
you,
I was the only one
won
to pick him. I was the only one to pick Arlovsky.
We tied, for the record, we tied with, you and I tied with 7 picks each. You won on points because you did have one perfect pick. You
Gerald
did
Mearshart.
Predict Gerald Mearshart first one. So according to the topology.com point system, you beat me by like 30 points. But we are, I mean, technically we tied. Let's be real. But I hate ties, so I'll give you the one.
I'd rather
lose.
But Arlovsky picks up a beautiful unanimous decision win against Chase Sherman. Yeah. It was an interesting fight. It was better than I thought it was going to be. A lot of people thought Sherman was going to go in there and knock Arlovsky out in the first round, and it was very close to happening. But AK, I'm going to begin with you here, because it is safe to say, I would guess, that it's either another longtime veteran of the sport to fight Arlovsky, or a fight that we're just not going to be happy to say into a live microphone right now. So where does the pit... where does the pit bull go from that victory on Saturday?
I don't know. Well, I had two options, and I definitely went the young gunner route. I definitely went the, you know, the heavyweight division is changing rapidly in front of us. We've had a bunch of names kind of enter the top 15, both because of their success and also because of some old veteran names getting the axe. So I went with a man that we saw in action last night. I did it, Mike. I went Alexander Romanov. I said, give Alexander Romanov Andrei Arlovsky. Romanov had his own adventurous evening, to put it gently, against Honest Spino. It was probably not a victory he's going to champion and crow about anytime soon. And probably, and for the ending, would certainly like to forget. Hopefully he's not. Hopefully he's not feeling it today. But he is 3-0 in the UFC. He does really still look like, you know, a top heavyweight guy, a prospect, future title challenger. And Arlovsky is one of those guys you got to go through. Very, very tough matchup. He really exposes you, as exposes what you are. So let's see what Romanov is. Let's put him in there with Pitbull and the Pitbull, excuse me. And let's make it happen. I just pulled the trigger. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, there's two options here. You kind of said my 1A, so, but they're not going to go with this other option. My 1B was Alexei Oleinik, because that one makes so much sense, but we're not in the business of making sense, AK. So I will go, if we go to check the tapes, after Arlovsky defeated Tanner Bozer, I said he's going to have to fight a killer. He's going to have to fight a guy who also got a win on Saturday. I wasn't happy saying it then, Arlovsky versus Alexander Romanov, but we're here. I hate to say it. This is what's going to end up happening. Romanov is a killer, and, you know, Arlovsky has thwarted prospects many of time in his career, but I have a feeling this could be a type of situation where Romanov is just belly-to-belly suplexing Arlovsky all over that octagon, and it's just not going to be fun to watch.
No one's really done that. I should look this up. No one's really.
But something tells me that Alexander Romanov is not going to be like taken back from the moment fighting Andrei Arlovsky. Like, you could tell Tanner Bozer was like, okay, like, this is pretty cool. Like, I'm fighting the former UFC heavyweight champion of the world. You could tell he kind of got lost in that a little bit. Romanov's not going to think that way at all. At least I don't think he will. But it's an interesting fight. I would highly favor Romanov to do bad things in there, but you never know. We've said that many times before.
The pit bull going to be the underdog again. How do you feel about...
Oh,
clear okay. my throat. A little We're dramatic, okay. a little dramatic throat clear there. I just don't want to hear that. How do you feel about Sergei Spivak? Sort of the same range. Any preference either way? Romanov, Spivak.
I'm fine with that. I don't know if I like it. I'd like to see that fight.
I think either would be fine. Like, I just went Romanov because, again, we just saw him fight and they're on the same card. So, you know, their timelines probably can't be too different. But my other option was Spivak, and I'm like, it's kind of the same idea. So either one. But Romanov would be, if I had to choose one, I'd go Romanov.
Yeah, it's either, based on the betting lines, either Arlovsky gets knocked out viciously or he gets submitted and it's a little more calming. Like, he gets choked and it's fine. But Spivak would probably be in a position to knock him out. But we'll see. Good win for Arlovsky. Happy to see it. And it is what it is. Former heavyweight champion back in the winning ways. Looks like he will live to fight another day in the UFC. One man who may not be living to fight another day in the UFC is one Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. He loses to Jacob Malkoon. I believe Al-Hassan was the biggest favorite on the card. I would be shocked if he wasn't, but you have to imagine this will be the end of the line for Abdul. But Malkoon gets his first UFC win after getting brutally knocked out by Phil Haas in a matter of seconds in his UFC debut in October. AK, you can insert pretty much any mid to lower ranked 85er in here. Like, I wasn't expecting to matchmake for Jacob Malkoon here. I mean, this is no disrespect to him. Just everyone kind of looked at this fight as this will be Al-Hassan's opportunity to get a quick knockout and get back on track at a new weight class. But you know what? Jacob Malkoon versus Jordan Williams seems perfect to me. Like, in terms of experience, it makes sense. You know, Williams is coming off his first UFC loss. He had a tough fight with Nasruddin Imavov. I think this is a good matchup. It makes sense. What do you think?
Yeah, I love it. Williams also had a knockout win that was overturned. Am I getting Jordan Williams confused with Journey Newsom?
Yes.
So Jordan Williams does not have. He didn't have a win overturned. Am I crazy?
He's probably. Was that a thing? He had a contender series win overturned.
Okay. Right. Okay. Journey Newsom was one who had a TK who had a knockout, exciting knockout in the UFC overturned. Okay, and he was also a contender series guy. Okay. So apologies to Journey and Jordan. I'm forgetting that mixed up. A great matchup. Yeah, I have, like you said, I kind of have them in that same range. I want to say first, Al-Hassan was a 3-1 favorite, but he was actually, there was a bigger favorite. Tony Gravely was the biggest favorite. He closed almost -400, and that bared itself out. So no criticisms for the odds makers there. I do think, as you said, we will see, this is the last of Al-Hassan. He was moving up to a new weight class. I'm not sure if he was doing it just because of the timing or if just getting some sort of fresh start, but it did not work out for him, unfortunately, and that's three straight losses. So, Malkoon, I went with Jordan Wright versus Jamie Pickett winner, May 15th. I don't know. I went because kind of like we said in the Gaslam section earlier, when I was looking ahead of Malkoon, trying to match him up with someone ahead of him in my mystery rankings. A lot of those names are tied up as well. A lot of middleweight is tied up, not just the top 20, but I saw the middle of the pack as well. So I had to go with that. Otherwise, Roman Kopylov, another guy who's looking for his first UFC win, who I think is better than his, he lost in his debut. I think he's better than that shows. But so, yeah, and Roman Kopylov I have in that 0-1, promising 0-1 guy range with Jordan Williams and a few other names. So, Mike, we've discussed this before, like, just because guys are thrown on the main card does not necessarily make them main card fighters, if that's fair to say. Again, with respect to Jacob Malkoon, who clearly won that fight, and good for him getting in the win column. But he's what, 4-5-1? It's like a six.
Now he's 6-1, yeah.
6-1? The seventh MMA fight, and we're supposed to match him up the same way we would someone on the co-main event of a pay-per-view? Like, that's so strange, right? So I don't know. I almost like look at the names that were on the, and we'll get to the wild cards later, but look at some of the names that were on the prelims, like Romanov, Jessica Penne, Gerald Meerschaer, Tony Gravely. Like, these are more veteran, well-known names than Jacob Malkoon, because Malkoon was arbitrarily placed on the main card. We have to matchmake for him.
Right. But I don't know. Again, no disrespect to Jacob Malkoon.
I think we have suspected him at this point. At least I probably have.
This show is called We are putting ourselves in the position of UFC matchmakers. There's a reason Jacob Malkoon fought Phil Hawes in his UFC debut, because we kind of knew what was going to happen. And there's a reason that Jacob Malkoon was matched up against Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. And there's a reason why this fight was on the main card, because people thought Al-Hassan was going to go in there and blister him in the first minute of the fight. But Jacob Malkoon had other plans, and I stand corrected. He did climb to 5-1, so you are correct. So,
congrats, Jacob Malkoon. Congrats.
Yes,
great, really good victory.
No more disrespect. Win another fight, and then we're gonna start taking this matchmaking like extra serious. But let's head to Tracy Cortez, aka she remains undefeated in the UFC. Tough fight in her flyweight debut against Justine Kiesch. Wins the split decision. And Tracy Cortez is someone a lot of people are very excited about, AK. So where does she go from Saturday night, my best friend, in a very interesting 125-pound division?
First off, a little finger of shame to Tracy Cortez for missing weight. She did come in a half pound over. This was her first flyweight fight in the UFC. She came in a half pound over the flyweight limit. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. But otherwise, yes, good performance by her. Against Justine Kiesch, who I think is one of the toughest outs. I mean, I know, whatever, she doesn't have the greatest record. I know it's, people don't view her as a contender, but man, you get matched up with her, you're gonna be in for a tough fight. That's just how it is. And certainly, Tracy certainly got one of those on Saturday night. So I'll match her up with someone who I wanted Miranda Maverick to fight, but Miranda Maverick now is getting, of course, Macy Barber, July 24th. So this person is free now. I like Cortez and JJ Aldrich. I didn't aim too far high at the rankings. As you'll see in the listener suggestions later, there's some people were going like top 15, like kind of the bottom part of the top 15. I'm not there yet. So give me Tracy Cortez and JJ Aldrich.
This is pretty easy for me, AK, and I don't know if you're going to be too thrilled with what I have to say here, but
probably not.
This one makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons. One, because it could be you could main card this fight on a fight night, maybe even on a pay-per-view if you need it. I like the match between Tracy Cortez and Jillian Robertson, AK. Like, we need to test her. And I'm not saying like any of the opponents she fought like aren't tests, but we need somebody that's like just outside the top 15. Like when Tracy Cortez won her last fight at 135, I wanted her to fight Julia Avila. Like, that was the piece of business I wanted. Jillian Robertson makes sense. In terms of like up and coming flyweights, I don't know if anyone has been tested more than Jillian Robertson has. So I think like in terms of experience and growth and fighting someone who's got those legs, that's my pick. I like it. I want to see what Tracy's got, and I want to see what Jillian's got too. I mean, she's had some tough matchups over the last year and a half or so. This could be an interesting test. If she goes out there and beats Tracy Cortez, she's right back in the mix in the top 15. So I like that one. I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I shied away from that one because I just hate labeling Jillian as sort of like a litmus test at this point, because she's still so young despite having 10 UFC fights for someone who's so young. But really the flyweight division, the women's flyweight division in the UFC, I think is a little underrated, because everyone could say like, oh, well, this person couldn't beat Valentina. And so anytime you kind of tout someone in the flyweight division, like, oh, can they beat Valentina? It's like, okay, if you're measuring stick as Valentina Shevchenko, yeah, nobody at 125 is good. Fine. But otherwise it is a pretty competitive division. So I don't know. So yeah, there really is no like easy fight for Jillian Robertson. There's no fight for me to say like, oh, I wish Jillian Robertson would get an easy fight in her next one. There's not that many options for her that aren't like so far down the rankings it's not worth her time. So I understand the Cortez thing, but if anything, I'm kind of like want to punish Cortez for the weight miss, and I don't know if she deserves to fight a veteran opponent like Jillian Robertson. I almost feel like her next fight, she has to prove she can make 125, I think, before getting a more veteran name. So not that all. Yeah, and I would count Aldrich as like not a super veteran name. I don't know. 8 fights in the UFC. That is quite a bit. But either way, a different level of competition. Again, there's no easy fights. So, I don't want to reward her with a Robertson fight. I think Robertson should get someone else, and I think we keep her in the Aldrich range. It's kind of 25 to 35 range in the women's flyweight division. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Maybe it wouldn't be a reward at all, AK. Maybe it's she true. Would get submitted in the first round or something, and then it would be a punishment in the long run.
Robertson's dangerous, you know?
She sure is. Let us now head to the victorious Violence Bob Ross. Luis Pena, split decision win over Alex Munoz. He needed that win for sure. 155 is loaded. This isn't the same problem as Jacob Malkoon, but we're kind of in that same range where you can insert a lot of different names and it's not wrong. So just a fight I want to see as a fan. I'd like to see Luis Pena versus Roosevelt Roberts, AK. I think they're both in interesting spots in their careers. I'm in. Let's do it.
There's literally like 20 people you can match up Luis Pena. Lightweight's one of the deepest divisions in the UFC. I mean, you have no shortage of options. When I was looking at listener suggestions, there's also, I kept thinking like, hasn't Pena fought this guy already? Hasn't Pena fought this guy already? And it's like, he actually, what is he now? He's now, where are we now? Where's my Luis Pena notes? He's now, 5-3. 5-3 UFC, so 8 UFC fights. So it's like, it feels like he's been around for a long time, but he's just, you know, not as much as I thought. So yeah, a lot of fresh matchups. I'm going to sort of go back to my names that were freed up list, because I wanted this guy to fight Christos Giagos, but Giagos is getting Joel Alvarez, so Jamie Mullarkey is now free, I think, unless I got that backwards. And I'd like to see Jamie Mullarkey and Luis Pena. I think it'd be a fun fight. Just, again, good matchup, good test for Pena. I know, again, Pena's just got so many good hooks, so many marketable hooks. I know the UFC and the fans would love to see this guy go on a nice streak and just really take off. But again, we're still kind of testing, figuring out who he is. So he's really young in the game still. So Jamie Mullarkey, match him up, fun fight, fight of the night contender. That's it.
Yeah, can't go wrong. That'll be fun. As we head to the wild card round, AK, we're going to match up one fighter we have not match made for yet, and we will go ahead and do that right now. So, AK, indulge us, if you would, your wild card selection for UFC Vegas 24.
I went with the veteran, Jessica Penne. You know, I understand she's had her run-ins with the USADA, but a lot of fighters have, and the circumstances haven't always been comprehensible, to be honest. And I'm not absolving her of her USADA issues. I'm just saying there's very likely more than meets the eye when it comes to her two suspensions. Very rare for a lot of UFC fighters to get that second suspension, but she got one and almost got a 4-year suspension, but it was reduced to 20 months. However, she ended up not fighting for like 4 years anyway, so I don't know. It somehow it all worked out for the USADA punishment side, but I think I'd like to go with someone a little bit in her age range. Someone maybe not quite as experienced as her, but definitely a hardened test. So I'm going Jessica Penne and Jin Yu Fry. I think it'd be an entertaining fight, and I'd just like to see these two veterans throw it down before. Again, I don't know how much years they plan to compete, how many more years they plan to compete. I just think it'd be a cool fight to see before all is said and done. So Penne Fry, let's do it.
That's an interesting piece of business right there. Although yeah, I thought poor old Lupi Godinez got the hose job. That she got the hose job from the judges, but it's okay. It was a close fight; could have gone either way. But despite the loss, AK, and I know what people are thinking right now. They already have it. They got their finger on the pulse. Someone actually tweeted out last night: breaking news: Mike Heck's gonna do the wild card pick for Tony Gravely. There's no doubt about it. Per sources, I was dying laughing, DJ in the wedding when I saw that. But I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
That
false.
Is
false report
is not wholly accurate at this time. I'm going, despite a loss, I'm going with Juan Espino, AK, only because I want to see this man fight as often as possible. I like watching Juan Espino fight. That first round was banana, as the great Pat Patterson, God rest his soul, rest in peace, Pat Patterson, used to say. That fight, that first round was banana, ended in an unfortunate way. You know, we mentioned different matchmaking ideas for Andrei Arlovsky. I think Espino is a legit talent that can give a lot of guys in the heavyweight division problems. What a fun fight it would be to see Juan Espino versus Alexei Oleinik. The scrambles, the work on the mat, I'm in. That's the fight I want to see. So if they don't do Arlovsky Oleinik, which I don't think they will, Espino Oleinik checks off all the boxes. I'm going with that so I don't have to pick another bantamweight up-and-comer.
As far as we know, and by the way, Tony Gravely, you can match up again. Bantamweight is just so good. anyone who watched that, the Burchak fight was entertaining. So it's like, and again, like I said, that was supposed to be a blowout, and maybe it was. I mean, it was definitely heavily in Gravely's favor, but it was a nice showcase fight for Gravely. Bantamweights are so fun. So you can match him up with anyone. As far as we know, though, Linux, he is. I mean, there was a little bit of. I remember there were some rumors that he was released when the Overeem release happened. But as far as we know, we haven't heard anything on that front, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if it was actual rumors, like again the sources that said that you were going to pick Tony Gravely, or if it was just people wondering because he was kind of in that same veteran age range status that people were like, oh no, Linux must be next, and that turned into like you know, a ball of that. Flaming rumors. What a wonderful metaphor that people just picked up on. So yeah, I don't think so. I don't remember hearing anything about him being released. So
yeah, he's not released.
That's good because he's mentioned a lot on this show.
Yes, he's a favorite. He's definitely a favorite of ours. Do we have a check the tapes, AK?
Just a very quick one because we had two title fights that were one which people said was very likely to happen and one which people really wanted to happen. So we got Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena, UFC 265. August 7th. It's not like exactly a match that people were clamoring for, but after Pena's win and her call out, I think a lot of us said, you know what, she might get it. And who knows if she has a chance of beating her, but she's certainly, I think her accomplishments are there. She's done the work on the mic to sell the fight already. Now it's official. So that was what really everyone was kind of talking about. And then also, of course, Jan Blachowicz. Thank goodness Jan Blachowicz facing Glover Teixeira, the rightful number one contender at 205 pounds. We've been calling for this one for I don't even know how long. I think even before Teixeira's latest win, I think after his win before that, I think we said he should get the fight with Blachowicz. So UFC 266, September 4th. But other than that, no, nothing specific. No crazy calls from us or the listeners.
All right, we will. I'll go through the DMs real quick. I didn't get a ton of them, but I got some, so we'll run through those, and then we'll go to the rest of the peeps. Patrick Austin basically said Abdul is probably going to be cut. Fair statement. And he said Tony Gravely versus Andre Ewell is his pick. Interesting piece of business right there.
I like.
Jack Porter said Romanov versus Dano or Parker Porter, and then he went with Arlovsky versus Olenek. And he said one more bonus, not from this card. Shavkat Rachmanov versus Chaos Williams, just because I need to see these guys fight again. I thought Rachmanov was booked, if memory serves me correctly, but I'll look at that in a little bit while. Sean Bradley, Jake Paul versus Teofimo Lopez. As a former wrestler, I hate to see Askren lose, so let's get him a real boxer. Wow.
How big is Teofimo? I don't know anything about boxing.
I don't think he's 190 pounds.
Let me look this up real quick.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think he's 190 pounds.
I think he's smaller. I'm pretty sure he's smaller.
We move ahead. Poppy underscore Bryant. A request for you, AK.
Oh.
He said, we need a robbery review for Penny versus Godinez. She beat Penny up for just about the entire fight.
I'd have to watch it closely. Again, honestly, I don't know. I think people who heard on the post show yesterday, I was doing a lot of the Paul Askren coverage. So I definitely had both screens going, but not at the point where I could make a strong judgment either way. I did see the powerbomb, and I think when you jackknife powerbomb someone like Kevin Nash, you should automatically get this. Really, they should have waved the fight off. But credit to Penny for hanging in there after taking that big bump. Not the cleanest back bump I've ever seen, Mike. Let me tell you something. That's not the kind of back bump they teach you in wrestling school. That's how you get a stinger, brother. I'm gonna take a look at this closer look at this card and who knows, maybe I see a robbery and do a robbery review this week.
Maybe a couple with the split decision. A lot of split decisions on this card.
Four of them.
Two more. We got Zach Andrews, Whitaker versus Izzy, of course. Andre Arlovsky versus Carlos Felipe. Interesting. Malkoon versus Hizriev, because there's no clue what to do with this man. Zach said Tracy Cortez versus Jillian Robertson or Julia Avila, depending on weight class. I believe Julia Avila and Julia Stolyarenko is being rebooked for June 26th. At least that's what I've been told. I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but there you go. If it is, hallelujah. Wildcard picks, Mearsharp versus Anthony Hernandez. I know Hernandez is booked right now, so if Hernandez wins, could be an option. That'd be an interesting fight. And then Tony Gravely versus Nate Maness. I'm down for that.
Has that not happened? They've never fought before?
They have not fought before, no.
Someone replaced somebody?
Maness was supposed to fight Gravely on this card.
Okay, thank you. That sounds so familiar. Okay.
Last one. Evan Rodriguez agrees. Whitaker Adesanya. This one's obvious. Bobby Knuckles deserves a shot. Arlovsky versus Felipe. Jake Collier winner. I expect Philippe to win this fight. I think Carlos is a great prospect to match with Arlovsky. Jacob Malkoon versus Dustin Stoltzfus. Another Cortez versus Jillian Robertson pick. Luis Pena versus Jalen Turner. Fun scrap. Has fight of night potential. Romanov versus Sergey Spivak was the other pick. So thank you to all the DMers.
Pena versus Turner is one of those, I can't believe these guys are lightweight fights. Like, you can see that. You're like, oh, this is like, these are two skinny middleweights or something. It's like, oh my gosh, they're lightweights. What? Hot, what? Teofimo Lopez. So lightweight people in boxing, by the way, is 130 to 135. So he'd be giving up a lot of size to Jake Paul. Now, I would still pick Teofimo Lopez to beat Jake Paul's ass if we're being honest, but it would be tough to find a commission that would, I think, that would authorize this one. But I don't know. Stranger things have happened. But yeah, no, I think regardless of the weight, Teofimo would work him. But again, there are weight classes for a reason. Unfortunately, I don't know if you'd get to see that one made.
What do we got?
Okay, what do we got? Okay, well, I'm gonna try not to overlap with you too much, Mike, because yeah, I some of the ones you mentioned was like Mearshart, Andrew Sanchez. I saw some people say so. If I repeat myself, I apologize.
That's a good one. But
yeah, I like it. So here's the ones that were suggested by two or more listeners. Adesanya, Whitaker, definitely, obviously the most universal pick. Everyone's just like, yeah, let's just get this over with. This needs to happen. So Adesanya versus Whitaker 2. Gastelum versus Holland. Yeah, definitely a popular option. That was the other one that came up. Arlovsky, people were all over the place. They went Arlovsky, Ivanov, Arlovsky, Romanov, Arlovsky, Spivak, and a couple of people, Arlovsky, Alexander Gustafsson.
I thought of that one too.
Sure. But we don't know what's going on with Gus.
Exactly. So I don't know.
Is he even going to fight again? Is he dropping down to 205? We don't know, right? He may have to be put on the banned list. with not on his fault, but like, you know, fighters who are injured, fighters who are, that we know are going to be out for a long time. We may have to like just not mention these options anymore until they book a fight. Yeah. I think Bryce Mitchell's on that list now. Luis Pena, Devontae Smith. I like Malkoon. This is, I don't know, that's why this one came up multiple times. Malkoon and Deron Wynn. Is there some Malkoon Wynn beef here that I'm not aware of? Are they just in that range? I don't know.
So here's something interesting. I did want to talk about this. I haven't had a chance to like respond to this.
Are you kidding me? This Malkoon Wynn thing actually triggered some sort of story?
The Deron Wynn has triggered something.
All right.
Okay, so we reported on Friday that Phil Haas is fighting Kyle Daukaus on May 8th, I believe.
Yes, we did.
So we reported that. Deron Wynn hopped on Twitter immediately after and quote tweeted that report and said, I was signed to fight Phil Haas on July 17th. So this fight was in the works. He's taking this other fight. Phil Haas clearly doesn't want to fight me anymore. Ooh. So I, of course, followed up with some sources about this. And apparently, Deron Wynn is telling the truth. Phil Haas has signed to fight both of these gentlemen. Things happen to change. It's kind of a fluid situation right now. But in an ideal world, and I know we've tried to do this before and it hasn't worked out yet, in an ideal world, Phil Haas will fight Kyle Daukaus and then turn around 2 months later and fight Deron Wynn. He has signed contracts for both. Apparently, from what I've been told, he signed to fight Deron Wynn first, and after Kyle Daukaus lost his fight earlier this month, the UFC approached him like the next day and said, hey, you want to fight Daukaus on May 8th? And he said, okay, I'll do that. And then the contracts are signed like earlier this past week. So there you go. I heard Deron Wynn's name and I'm like, oh yeah, I meant to talk about this and tweet about it and I never had a chance to. So we'll address it on the show. That fight is apparently the plan to happen as well. It's not a fight like you can actually like report and say, hey, it's definitely happening, because Haas is fighting somebody else 2 months earlier and you don't know what's going to happen in a fight. But if all goes well in a perfect world, Phil Haas will fight twice in 2 months against Daukaus and then Deron Wynn.
Look at that no exclusive. And people in our on MMAfighting.com comments, Mike, there's always one or two who say, why don't you guys just write the show down? Like, why are you guys recording the show? I was like, guys, you don't get those kind of tidbits if we write this down. That's not getting mentioned. So I don't even know who I'm talking to, because again, those people don't listen to the show. But I'm just putting out this in the ether. There's very good reasons why we record the show. It's because of moments like that. So, yeah, guys, you only get that kind of stuff on the pod in podcast form. Alexander Romanov, Romanov Olenek, people like that. Mearshart and Muradov, Mahmoud Muradov. So that was a popular one.
Man.
And there's a lot of Tony.
Out.
Yeah, there's a lot of Tony Gravely's. The one I saw the most, Gravely. There's a lot of Tony Gravely's. The one I saw more than once, Gravely versus Luis Smoka. We've matched up Smoka quite a few times on this show. I think there are better matchups for Smoka than Tony Gravely, but a couple of people wanted it, so there we go. I only got one email so far. I should tell people we are recording this episode a little bit earlier than usual, but still, my email boys, I think they were a little too high on the Paul Aspen supply. as many of us were. I'm not blaming them. And I'm sure, like you said, they'll be back in full force after our next pay-per-view coming up. But just Harry Dwoskin's the only man who made the deadline cut. He likes Gravely versus Miles Johns, Austin Hubbard versus Malarkey, Mir Sherd versus Marc-André Barriot, and you mentioned this before, one of your listeners, Malkoon versus Dustin Stoltzfus. So there you go. There's some buzz for Malkoon Stoltzfus as well. Malkoon, again, good for him, man, getting on that main card and getting people talking about matchups for him. That's always a good place to be in. On Instagram, we had some good messages. So I do want to read out some of the messages in their entirety. But quick hits here. Dylan Shute, he first thing he said was Jake Paul versus Askren rematch in wrestling. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would only be fair, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Fair and just world, Mike.
It would only be fair.
And I think Jake has like said he would do it, but obviously he's not going to, like, you know, that was just part of like pre-fight, obviously pre-fight family. You will not see these two men share a ring or mat or cage ever again. That's not, unless it's for a photo shoot or something. Calvin Gastelum, Calvin Gastelum versus winner of Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall. Of course, either of those would be a rematch. The Uriah Hall, probably a little more interesting of a rematch. Of course, that would be from the Ultimate Fighter finale that Gastelum won by a very close split decision. And Weidman, I think a little more definitively, Weidman beat him. I don't think there's much heat there. But Uriah Hall, sure. What else? Let's move on. This other one he mentioned before. We have a new listener. I always like to mention new listeners contributing. This is from Jesse Yates, another Aussie. We got a lot of Australian fans. Malkoon versus Maki Patolo.
Yeah, it makes sense. Patolo's booked, I believe.
Oh, I had to look that up. You know what? Now that you mentioned it, I thought I looked it up. I don't know. Maybe it's a rumor. Maybe it's not official.
He's fighting Todorovic, I believe.
Oh, he is fighting Todorovic. Okay, well, you know what? If he beats Todorovic, actually, win or lose, I think it's a good matchup for Malkoon. So, Jesse Yates, I'm going to give you some props for that matchup. I still like it. So, yeah, whatever happens with Patolo and Todorovic on June 5th, I think it's fine. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Matt Bradbury coming in with some of the best suggestions, I think. He said Jake Paul versus Damian Maia. I see what you did there. Yeah. Austin Hubbard versus Michael Johnson. I have to read this one because he went into great detail explaining it. He said, Hubbard always seems to lose whenever he isn't facing a newcomer, and Johnson's on a skid. This is kind of a loser-leaves-town match, in my opinion. It'll show if Johnson can actually put some wins together or he just isn't UFC caliber anymore. It'll see if Hubbard can actually beat higher level competition. So good logical reasoning there. What do you think of this matchup, Mike? Mir Sherd versus Julian Marquez.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know why I like it so much? Because I think you could build that entire fight doing interviews with both of those guys at the same time, and it would be like awesome. Because both those, like, it would be so respectful, but it would be like kind of goofy. Like, I could see Gerald Mearshot busting out the saxophone and Marquez like singing a song. Like, they'll just play like one bourbon, one shot, one beer. Like, just put on a little duet. Like, it would be amazing. Yeah. I'd love see it. I'm sold.
I'd love it for like a UFC on AB, like UFC on ABC 3 or something, like co-main event.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I would love it. And then just give the really, really kind of show people a different side of the fight hype. You know, that's something the UFC can do more of, you know, and those are definitely the two guys to do it.
I love it. That's a great idea.
Fight. I think it'd be a good fight, too. I think it'd be a good fight. He mentioned Penne Fry, and I want to mention this because he did something you and I don't do, and most listeners don't do. He said he went like he made up a fight and then already matched up the winner of that hypothetical fight. So he wants to see Penne versus Fry. He's like veteran versus veteran, and he says, and the winner of that should face Corey McKenna. And I'm like,
wow,
sure. I mean, I don't even know if I like that matchup. I just like that. I just like it's cool. Matt Bradbury is looking that far ahead, so that's fun. Tracy Cortez, he wants to give a pretty big step up. Maeda Bueno Silva. And then you want to see Pena versus John McDessie, because let's have McDessie face another 6'3" guy. Didn't we get a fight of the night from that? Technically we didn't, because the massive dude that McDessie fought last time, Bahamondes, unfortunately missed weight. But yes, that was the real fight of the night last week, let's be honest. Literally, just for Otno, again, my favorite username
on social media. That's phenomenal.
It's so good. I told myself I have to read his intro. He said, "What up, Mr. Lee? I hope you've enjoyed the S show that was this weekend's fights." He did not say S. I am censoring here. First of all, let's deal with the elephant in the room. I think Jake Paul should fight. Just kidding. I don't give an F. Onto the real fights.
Did he say F?
He did not say F. You can fill in the blanks yourself. This is a family show. So he went, the ones that really jumped out to me, Gravely, Jack Shore, I think is really good. He says rebook Penne, Hannah Goldie, third time's a charm. Romanov versus winner of Shamil Abdurakhimov, Augusto Sakai. Yeah, man, that'd be a really good fight. Either. So Abdurakhimov and him would be really, really good. And then, again, one of our more popular names on Otno these days, Luis Pena and Mike Davis.
They are training partners, I believe.
Oh, no, are you serious?
I believe they're both at ATT.
I did not know that. Well, there we go. Well, I'm glad I brought it up, because, again, I thought it was a cool matchup. I'm sure some other people thought about it, but unlikely to happen. Okay. Josh Abukai. I always like to hear from him. I think my favorite matchup is this is just the Make Grant Dawson mad matchup. Austin Hubbard and Clay Guida. Look, Clay Guida is going to fight somebody, Grant Dawson, and it might not be you. So I'm just, if you're out there listening, I'm just saying, be prepared to see someone else swoop in and get that matchup. I'm sorry. And we'll end with Twitter this week. All right, a lot of ones here. I don't want to read them all off. Sorry, guys. Of course, thank you for your contributions as always, everyone. But I got to pick some good ones here. Marcus McGahee, Cortez versus Tyler Santos. Another big jump up. People didn't really care about that weight miss, apparently. Or, like you said, it's the opposite. They did care about the weight miss and want to and think, like, well, guess what? Now she needs to maybe get roughed up in her next fight. Romanov versus Ben Rothwell, Philippe Lin's winner on May 8th. He said, "This fight should have gone to Espino. They did my boy dirty." And Battle of Veterans, I'd like to see this one. Mearshirt versus Zach Cummings. They're not part training partners or anything. No.
No.
Out of Wisconsin. And,
how have they not fought before?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. I swear. In my mind, I'm having Mandela right now. I distinctly remember the fight happening, but it has not happened.
Wow.
Barry O'Reilly, our man in Ireland. Penne versus Conejo, sure. Pena versus Otman Azaitar.
Wow. I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet.
Cortez versus Molly McCann. Sure. Molly McCann is someone I'd love to see fight anybody. And then
good fight. That makes sense.
That's a good fight. I thought we were almost done having to mention this guy every time, but I do like this matchup, actually. Gaslam versus Shamayev. I really like it. And he says an established name who showed against Heinisch that he has some wrestling chops. The only thing is, we've kind of said previously, we just want to see Shamayev get healthy and fight when he's ready. But on paper, I actually really like that. If he decides to fight at 185 again.
Cortez McCann is like the exact middle ground of our two selections, in my opinion. Like you said Cortez Aldridge. I said Cortez Robertson. I feel like McCann is like a perfect compromise between the two.
I think so too. That's a solid pick. Barry Rally, solid pick. Chris at Dragonslayer 2 on Twitter. Two good picks. Mearshart versus Puna Soriano. Sure, I like it. But then I said I prompted this person for a Jake Paul pick, and then and they came up with, they said, "Jake Paul, Julian Lane, just let them bang, guys." And you know what? I love it. Very, very quick. This response was very quick, too. It was like right after I asked. So quick response. Great choice. Thank you, Dragon Slayer 2. Michael Perugini. Did we mention Gaslam Brunson?
I don't think so.
I think Brunson's a little past it. Like four fight win streak. Yeah. I think he's ahead in the rankings. Gaslam probably still the slightly bigger name, but I don't think Brunson would say no, but I think it's a dangerous, tough fight for him that he doesn't have to take right now.
Brunson's like arguably a win away from a title shot.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Michael Perugini's backing you up. Cortez Robertson definitely likes it. Gravely versus Benito Lopez. I only bring this up because I just don't know where Benito Lopez is. He hasn't fought in, I think, well over a year and a half. So we just want to see him back. I think I know he started a family, so maybe he's just focusing on being a proud papa. But otherwise, I don't know. Benicio Lopez, I'm not sure what's going on with him. So we just like to see him fight again, so I bring him up. Mitchell Robinson Stan likes Meerschaert versus Rodolfo Vieira. Yes. Grappler's Delight.
Sure.
Grappler's Delight. I'm into it. At Young Rabbi 86, Gravely versus another popular Otno pick, Nathaniel Wood. Austin Hubbard versus Mark Jacquezzi. So some good picks there. And Mike, I will close out with Nate Andrews on Twitter I do want to shout out Colin Avery just because he's a first-time contributor. And he just wanted to say he wants to see Gastelum versus Holland. So thank you, Colin Avery, on Twitter. You're getting your shout out. Thank you for listening. And Nate Andrews, of course, thank you for listening as well. I do want to read out some of his thoughts here. I'll get to this. So Malkoon versus Sam Alvey. He's a step down accomplished for Alvey. Another fight to build Malkoon's young MMA career. Pena versus Clay Guida. Sorry, Grant Dawson. This is something. This is something more Guida's. I love how Guida is just now connected to Grant Dawson because of you. Romanov versus Spino. Need to run it back. All that fight's weirdness aside, Espino was robbed like a bank in a Boston crime movie. Shoutouts to the town and the Departed. But I don't remember if they ever actually robbed any banks in the Departed.
No, they didn't rob any. They just microprocesses.
Wow, good. Yeah. So when I think about those, are what's come to my mind. I think Boston crime movies, but definitely didn't remember. So that was a shout out to you in New England, of course, Mike. And then the last thing Nate Andrews says, NSAC judges versus a drug screen. This might be some of the worst judging I've seen across an entire card since the start of the pandemic. I don't know if I agree with that. Like I said, I would have to watch the fights again more closely myself. I didn't think any of the, but maybe some of the cards were poor, but I don't know. I don't know if there was any out-and-out robberies. But the people have spoken. Nate Andrews, thank you for your well-thought-out message. And thank you, all of the listeners. Mike, I think we are done with that section now. So, of course, if you guys want to reach out to me on social media with your suggestions, hit me up Twitter, at Alexander K. Lee. Slide right into those DMs. Instagram, Alexander KK Lee, 2 Ks. Email, alex.lee@sbnation.com. Mike?
Find me on Twitter at MikeHeck_JR, Instagram M_HeckJR, and yeah, that's going to do it for this week. Do not forget to join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the fallout of UFC 261, three title fights, Kamaru Usman, Masvidal 2 for the welterweight title, Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas for the strawweight title, Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade for the flyweight title. I'm sure we will match make for all six of those competitors, regardless of what happens on Saturday. Then, of course, the main card rounds out with Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall, the rematch from the regional scene over a decade ago. Weidman handed Uriah Hall his first professional loss for Ring of Combat. And Uriah Hall has been stewing on this one for a long time, so that should be fun. The main card opener, Anthony Lionheart Smith versus the surging, up-and-coming Jimmy Crute. Should be a fun card. We will talk all about it, the what's next for all of those individuals. Well, most of them, 8 out of the 10. Maybe we'll do all 10. Who knows? It would be a special edition of the program. But there you go. So for AK, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for listening. And always remember, don't take this too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. We will have a lot of fun next week right here on to the Next One, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.